I'm just going to start with a prayer. Our Father who art in heaven.
Yes, I'm here.
Don't interrupt, I'm praying.
But you called me.
Called you? I didn't call you. I'm praying. Our Father who art...
There, you did it again.
Did what?
Called me. You said, our Father who art in heaven. Well, I'm here. What's on your mind?
But I didn't mean anything by it. I was just saying my prayers for the day. I always say the Lord's Prayer. It makes me feel good, like getting a job done.
Oh, I see. Well, go on.
Hallowed be thy name.
Hold it. What do you mean by that?
By what?
By hallowed be thy name.
It means, good grief, I don't know what it means. How should I know? It's just part of the prayer. By the way, what does it mean?
It means honoured, holy, wonderful.
Ah, that makes sense. I never thought about what hallowed meant before. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Do you really mean that?
Of course, why not?
Well, what are you going to do about it?
Do? Nothing, I suppose. I just think it would be good if you had control of everything down here as you have up there.
Have I got control of you?
Well, I go to church.
That's not what I asked. What about your selfishness and the way you spend your money? You've really got a problem there, you know. And then there's your critical spirit, short temper, and your jealousy.
Stop picking on me. I'm just as good as the hypocrites in church.
Excuse me, I thought you were praying for my will to be done. If that's to happen, it will have to start with those who are praying for it, like you, for example.
Oh, all right. I suppose I do have some hang-ups now you mention it, and I could probably think of some others.
So could I.
I haven't thought about it very much until now, but I really like to cut out some of those things.
Good, now we're getting somewhere. We'll work on it together, you and I. Some victories can truly be won. I'm proud of you.
Look, Lord, I need to finish up here. This is taking a lot longer than it usually does. Give us this day our...
Oh, yes, you need to cut out the bread. You're overweight as it is.
Hey, wait a minute. What is this? There I was doing my religious duty, and all of a sudden you break in and remind me of all my hang-ups.
Well, praying is dangerous. You could end up being changed. That's what I'm trying to get across to you. You called me, and here I am. Too late to stop now. Keep on praying. I'm interested in the next part.
I'm scared to.
Scared? Of what?
I know what you'll say.
Well, try me and see.
Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.
What about Jill?
See, I knew it. I knew you'd bring her up. Don't you know she spread rumours about me in the past, which caused me a lot of hurt?
But your prayer, what about your prayer?
I didn't mean it.
Well, at least you're honest. But it can't be much fun carrying that load of resentment around with you, surely. It only leads to bitterness inside, you know.
No, but I'll feel better as soon as I can get her sorted out. I just can't get her away with it. I just can't let her get away with it that easily.
You won't feel any better. You'll just feel worse. Getting your own back isn't sweet. You're already unhappy. But I can change all that.
Oh, yes? How?
Forgive Jill, then I'll forgive you. Then the bitterness will be Jill's problem and not yours. You may have lost faith, but you will find peace of mind and have a settled heart.
But, Lord, I can't forgive her.
Well, then I can't forgive you.
Oh, you're right. You always are. And I suppose I want to be right with you even more than I want to get Jill sorted out. All right, I forgive her.
There now, wonderful. How do you feel?
Not bad, not bad at all. In fact, I'm beginning to feel really good. All this business with Jill has been keeping me awake at night. I've been tense and worn out.
Yes, I know. You're not through with your prayer yet, though. Carry on.
Oh, all right. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Very good. I'll do just that. Just don't put yourself in situations where you can be tempted.
What do you mean by that?
What about all those programs you watch on the television? How about getting the God Channel installed, for instance? It's well worth the outlay. Or try reading some good Christian books. Are your friendships helpful? Perhaps there are other lonely people in need of friends who would really appreciate the opportunity to get to know you better. And how many times have you found yourself in difficult situations where you feel uncomfortable and out of your depth?
I don't understand.
Yes, you do. You've done it lots of times. You get caught in a tricky situation, then come running to me. Lord, help me out of this mess, and I promise I'll never do it again. Do you remember some of those bargains you tried to make with me?
Yes, and I'm ashamed, Lord.
Well, which bargains are you remembering?
Well, I claimed those benefits that I wasn't entitled to. And then there was that time when I didn't declare all my earnings to the Inland Revenue. I promised that I wouldn't do it again.
But you didn't keep your promise, did you?
I'm sorry, Lord. I really am. Up till now, I thought that just praying was enough. I didn't expect you to answer like this.
Well, go ahead, finish your prayer.
And thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Do you know what would really bring me glory? What would really make me happy?
No, but I'd like to know. I want to please you now. I see how good it is to really be one of your followers.
You've just answered the question.
I did? How?
Yes, what would bring me glory is to have people like you really love and follow me. And I see that happening between us. Now that some of those old sins are exposed and out of the way, there's no telling what we can do together.
Okay, Lord, I'm all yours. Let's see what we can do together.
Yes, let's see.
You might wonder what prompted that sketch. We've been talking about praying, 40 days of fasting and prayer. And for some people, I know praying is a bit difficult because you feel you've prayed for a long time. And when you actually look at the clock, it's about 5 minutes. So I just thought I'd make one or two suggestions as a guideline to how one can pray. And I'm going to give out some cards. So if somebody wouldn't mind just passing these around. I hope there's enough for everybody. And while you're doing that, I'll just read out a passage which we all know very well. Is it coming over the mic all right? Oh. Feel a bit as if I'm on a throne here. You remember how the disciples, they used to watch Jesus going to pray, and he often used to get up very early in the morning, and sometimes he would pray all night. And I think, well, if Jesus had to do that, surely we can spend just a half hour or more, hopefully, with the Lord in the day. And so the disciples were watching the Lord, and they were interested in how Jesus prayed, because of course they were used to seeing the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all that praying in the temple and great long prayers. But Jesus, they noticed, his prayers were very different. And they said, and I'm sure you know this passage very well, they said, Lord, will you teach us to pray? And Jesus said, when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Then he went on, for if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. So I thought I would just go through the Lord's Prayer this morning and how we could perhaps use it as an outline for our own prayer times. When we say our Father, we're talking to God as his children. And of course, I think the last time I spoke was on Father's Day, and I mentioned how we can only call God our Father when we are actually born into his family to become his children. Remember that verse in John 1:12, which says, to as many as received him, to those who believed on his name, he gave the right, or the privilege, it means, to become children of God. And so in order to become God's children, God's sons and daughters, we have to be born into his family. Now, then we can pray our Father. Also, do you notice Jesus didn't say, when you pray, say, my Father or your Father. It was very inclusive. He was saying, with me, it's our Father. We're part of this family of God. And that was a privilege, even just to be called with Jesus, part of the family, wasn't it? Then we need to have this perspective of who we're coming to, who God is. That is, what's his character, this God that we're coming to? He's merciful. He's forgiving. You know, 1 John 1:9, I'm going to give you quite a lot of scriptures, so I won't be reading them all out. You know, it says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We have to do the confessing, come to him in repentance, and then we will know that forgiveness. God is a loving God. He wants the best for us. You know, have we got this perspective of a loving Father? You know, it's one of my favorite verses, Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. And then God is our protector. He gives us security. And John 10:29 says, I give them eternal life and no one can snatch them from my hand. We know that we're in God's hands. He will keep us. He will protect us. Psalm 46, God is a very present help in trouble. And we can turn to our God as our protector. Like any good father, he loves to give good gifts to us. Remember, he said in Matthew 7:11, if you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? He's a comforter. You know, isn't it good if you had a good father like I did? You know, you have a fall or something as a child, and immediately you run to your dad or your mum, but we're talking about fathers here. And, you know, once he picks you up and cuddles you, it puts the world to right again, doesn't it? God is our comforter, the Father of compassion, and the God of all comfort, it says in 2 Corinthians 13. There are many, many more aspects of the Father, but I've just mentioned a few because I could just be on all morning just talking about God's character and all the different aspects. But I want to go on to the next bit in the Lord's Prayer. And here I thought that Dorothy was going to be preaching my sermon for me when she started, hallowed be your name. You know, I think it was Shakespeare in Romeo and Juliet that said, what's in a name? Well, we know there is a name above all other names, and there's power in that name. And just looking at some of the names that God gave in the Old Testament in particular, you know, names in the Old Testament, they were more than labels of recognition. They were significant of the real personality to those it belonged to. And God's name or his names, they reflect his character. Do you remember when Moses was called by God to go to Egypt to deliver the children of Israel? Moses, he was very reluctant at first, wasn't he? And he thought, they'll say, well, who is this God? And who shall I say sent me? He said to God. And the Lord replied, I am has sent you. Meaning, I am whatever I need to be, or I will be as I will be. Dorothy already mentioned Jehovah. In the Old Testament, it was in the Hebrew, was Yahweh. And that means the Lord or the Supreme God. And you know, the Israelites, they so reverenced the name of God, of Yahweh, they would never write it down or speak it. It was so holy that they would never do that. So some of the names of which God is known are on that card that you've been given today. And I'm just going to mention a few of them. Jehovah Tsidkenu, that means the Lord, our righteousness. And a reference for that is to be found in Jeremiah 23:6. It refers to the branch that was going to come from David, which we know referred to the Messiah that was coming. And it says, this is the name that that one, or the Messiah, will be known by. Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord, our righteousness. Then another name, which is on the card, is Jehovah Makedesh. That means the Lord who sanctifies. Now, when we come to the Lord, you know, he cleanses us, doesn't he, from all the past. But we're not perfect by any means. I don't know anybody here would claim that. I certainly wouldn't. But it's a process that God does in our lives. And you remember that wonderful prayer that Jesus prayed in John 17, where he was praying really for us, the disciples, and those who would believe on his name. And one of the things he prayed was, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. So how do we come to be sanctified? By getting into God's word. And as we apply God's word to our hearts, the Holy Spirit takes it and makes it a reality in our lives. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord, our provider. And that occurred when the story of Abraham, when he was told to take Isaac and offer him as a sacrifice, remember? And Abraham, just imagine, this was the son of promise. And God was asking him to give up this son. And yet, you know, he spoke amazing prophetic words when he said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb. Remember, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And God provided a substitute that day instead of Isaac, didn't he? And that was Jehovah Jireh. The Lord provided a ram as a substitute for Isaac. Then Jehovah Nissi. The Lord is my banner or my shield. You know, when they used to go into war, they would carry a banner. And the enemy would try to get that banner, because if they got the banner and destroyed it, that was the statement of this army going to war. And where we get this is where the Amalekites came against the Israelites. And after they were defeated, Moses built an altar, acknowledging that God was their banner or their protector, or if you like, in modern day terms, their patron, Jehovah Nissi, Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is peace. This comes from where Gideon, remember, the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon and hail, you mighty warrior. And Gideon said, what, me? It must be somebody else, but not me. And he was frightened, really, because he knew if the angel of God came to him, I don't know how you would feel if an angel suddenly appeared to you. It's quite challenging, isn't it? I can remember some years ago when there used to be a church that met in Galvin Road, and one day the children saw angels up in the corners of the hall. It's quite a big hall, it would take 1,200, and they saw these angels. Nobody else saw them, but we saw them. The children saw them. On another occasion, I was at a Bible week up in Harrogate, and the worship had been absolutely phenomenal. And that night, 2 o'clock in the morning, the police were called by neighbours because they said, those people, I mean, we'd taken over the whole of the, excuse me, the Harrogate agricultural show. There was a big shed that took 9,000 people, and there were 9,000 people there. We were all camping there. And that night, 2 o'clock in the morning, the place, the 9,000-seater hall where we'd been, was ablaze, and the neighbours called the police. They said, it's just too much, these people singing away at 2 o'clock in the morning. And it wasn't. It was the glory of God and the angels of God. The worship had been so amazing that the angels were just having a party in there after we'd all gone, you know. And on another occasion, I was at a Bible week, and unfortunately, I slept through it all, and I was so annoyed in the morning when I heard. But Di Chapman, who most of you know, was in a tent with her friends. And actually, there was quite a satanic presence there, came into the tent, and they started to pray and pray in tongues. And as they did, the whole thing lifted, and they could hear singing. And again, it was in the early hours of the morning, and they said to each other, where's that singing coming from? They went outside the tent, and it was all up in the atmosphere. And then they saw somebody just walking across to the ladies' washrooms. It was about 1 o'clock in the morning, and they thought, well, maybe it's just us, you know, because they'd had this experience in the tent. And so they didn't say anything. And the next morning, as we went into the washrooms, there was a whole row of basins there that when you're camping, you know, it's not luxury. And people were at the basin saying, did you hear that singing in the night? And we knew then that it wasn't just for Di and her friend, that the angels had actually joined in. You know, when we are in worship and we praise, sometimes the angels can't help but join in. And I just felt this morning when Caleb was leading us, there was a little feeling. I'm sure the angels were actually rejoicing. There was a real presence of God here this morning, wasn't there? So be encouraged. Then that was Gideon's encounter with the angel. But the angel said, no, shalom, the Lord is peace. And you know, the Jewish people still today, they greet each other with shalom. Peace of God. And it's a lovely thing, isn't it, to know the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, keeping our hearts and our minds. How often our minds get ruffled, don't they? We've got this and that to do, or something that we're worrying about. Probably me this morning a little bit, thinking, oh, I've got to speak this morning, and I wasn't going to say preach, because when Ian said to me, go on, preach it, I said, oh no, I'll just give a talk to me. But I'm just sharing some of the things that I feel God has put on my heart. Then there's Jehovah Shammah. That means the Lord is present, or the Lord is there. Wherever you are, you carry the presence of God with you. And in Ezekiel's vision, the last chapter in Ezekiel, God gives him a vision of this city and all the different doors and how the measurements and everything. And he says, the name of the city is to be Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is there on the gates. Another name which you still have on your card, and which Dorothy mentioned, Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. And this incident came about when the children of Israel, they were always moaning, weren't they? You know, oh, we wish we were back in Egypt where all the leeks and the garlic. I'm not so sure that that would draw me back. But they got to a place called Marah, but the waters there were bitter, so they couldn't drink it. And so, you know, Moses, so often he had to go to the Lord and say, oh, Lord, why have you saddled me with these people? They're always moaning at me. And God said, all right, just throw the stick of water into the water, the stick, and it will become sweet so that they can drink of it. And that was where the Lord was called Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. And of course, we also know of the time when, as a result of the sin, the Lord sent snakes amongst them, didn't he? Because they'd been disobedient. And the Lord, and again Moses went before the Lord and he said, Lord, what am I to do about these people? Lord, I know that this is your judgment. And God told him to put a brass serpent on a pole, and everybody who looked at that brass serpent would be healed. And that is typical, isn't it, of the Lord on the cross. And when we look to him, there's healing in that cross. And I'm still believing for all the bits and bobs that I've got wrong with me. I'm still going to walk straight, and I won't tell you all the other bits that are wrong, but that's the bit you see. But, you know, I always remember saying years ago when I was much younger, I don't see why when we get older we have to go into heaven with, you know, so many things wrong. I want to go marching into heaven, you know, and I still want to go marching into heaven unless the Lord comes back first. Then we have Jehovah Rohi, the Lord, my shepherd. And nothing epitomizes what the shepherd is like more than Psalm 23. The one who leads, the one who guides us. And the last name I've got is Jehovah Shabbat, the Lord of hosts, the one who saves and protects. And you know, when the armies of Israel went out, that was the Lord of hosts that went with them. When we pray, we can claim all these promises that are in the name of God. You know, we want, if you need healing, then Lord, you are my Jehovah Rapha. If we need provision, then Lord, you are Jehovah Jireh. You are my provider. So when you pray through, if you use this as a guide, you know, there might be people that you know of. I have, I've had many, many instances in my life when Jehovah Jireh has come through for me. I've shared one of them, which was probably one of the biggest in my life. And I'll just tell you briefly now. It was a few years back now, and I was deciding that I was going to up my giving to the Lord. I've always, from a child of 10, when I first was given my pocket money, I was told that a tenth of it belonged to God. So my two old pennies, because of course it was old money in my day, that would go in the collection first before I was able to spend my pocket money. And so I grew up with that as just as a it was a thing of obedience to God, as far as I knew. So that's always been a habit of mine. And on this occasion, I thought I really ought to up my giving a bit more than just a tithe. You know, there's things called free will offerings, which are beyond your tithe. Some people say, should I tithe net or gross? You know, it always seems to me, if we only tithe net, it's a bit stingy. You know, God is a bountiful God, and we can give out of his abundance to us. Anyway, on this instance, I decided I was going to go down. I always paid by a standing order. And I recommend that to you if you have the tendency to say, I don't know whether I'm going to make it this month. If you give God first, you'll get through the month. I guarantee it. And so to make sure that went first, I always did a standing order. So I thought, I need to go down on Monday. This was Saturday. And up my direct standing order at the bank. But I thought, I'll just sit down and do my income and expenditure. And when I did it, my expenditure was more than my income. So I said, Lord, I've promised that I will up my giving. And I based it on Malachi 3:10, you know, where it says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse and prove me or test me now, says the Lord, if I will not open the heavens and pour you out such a blessing, you won't have room enough to contain it. And I said, Lord, I'm standing on your word. Prove yourself to me now, Lord. And I actually went and I doubled my giving. It wasn't what I needed, but I thought, right, if I'm going to test and prove the Lord, I'm going to really do it. And I doubled my giving. That was the Monday. The following weekend, I went to visit some people. They weren't family. They weren't people from the church. And as I was leaving, she put an envelope into my hand. And I said, what's this? And I said, what is it? She said, we will be most offended, she and her sister, they were talking, if you don't take this. We've come into some money and we want you to have it. And when I opened it, it was 100 times more than my giving had been. It was in thousands of pounds. You know, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord is your provider. He really will. And I've proved that over and over again. God has never allowed me to have a lot of money. Maybe he thinks I'd spend it on things, I don't know. But, you know, any time that I've had a need, it's been miraculously provided. And I could tell you how God provided my home for me. That was a miracle. My job for me, which was beyond what I was going for. And it was all so that I could bless others. You know, God will give you what you can handle. And he only gives wealth to people who can handle wealth. Those who are his, I'm talking about. Anyway, you know, when we pray, we can claim all these promises that are in God's name. And I want to read you a poem, which has been a great blessing to me. It's called, I'll tell you the name at the end. I was regretting the past and fearing the future. Suddenly, my Lord was speaking. My name is I Am. He paused. I waited. He continued. When you live in the past with its mistakes and regrets, it is hard. I am not there. My name is not I Was. When you live in the future with all its problems and fears, it is hard. I am not there. My name is not I Will Be. When you live in this moment, it is not hard. I am here. My name is I Am. And it's called I Am. In other words, I am whatever you need me to be. Saviour, healer, comforter. Jesus said, I will do whatever you ask in my name, that the Father may be glorified. That's in John 14. Now, notice it's in the name of Jesus. And what it means is, really, what you're praying for, can God put his stamp, his seal of approval on it? You know, in olden times, when people would send letters, they would have their seal, which was their particular crest or mark of their family. And to know that it came from that person, they would seal that letter with that stamp. And when Jesus says, I will do whatever you ask in my name, that the Father may be glorified. In other words, it isn't just glibly in the name of Jesus. Would God be able to put his approval on what you're asking for? Is that part of his will? Now, we know that sometimes when we pray, what we're praying for, especially when we're praying for those people that we have in the jug, you know, and the names, we know it's God's will that they should come to know him. But sometimes it's not God's timing. And sometimes God has to say no to the things that we ask, because he knows better than we do that it's not going to be good for us. You know, if we as parents, those of us who are parents or grandparents or great-grandparents as I am, I've just had my sixth great-grandchild. If we had given in to our children when they asked for things, say my son had asked if he could borrow the carving knife because he wanted to play sword fights, you know, I wouldn't have been a very good mother had I said, all right, here you are. I knew it would be bad for him. And sometimes God knows that the prayers that we're asking are not going to be good for us, because he has the bigger picture. I often think, you know, we sometimes don't understand when we look at things and nothing seems to be working out. And it's a bit like a canvas. You know, when you look at the wrong side of the canvas, you'll see all the knots where the different silks are tied and so on. But when you turn it over, you see the other side, then you get the full picture, the beauty of it all. And I think sometimes we won't understand why there are so many knots that we've had in our lives. But one day we'll get to heaven, and there we will get God's view of it. It will be the full picture in all its beauty. Then we'll understand why we had all those difficulties, the knots, the trials that we had, that we went through. You see, we don't have the full picture, do we? We just have to trust that God knows what he's about. Going on to next bit of the prayer. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We often pray, don't we? Lord, let your kingdom come and your will be done on earth. I wonder if we realize what we're praying when we say that. A dictionary definition of kingdom was the realm over which the sovereign or ruler or king extends. A kingdom has its own culture and values by which its laws are made. God's kingdom has laws of righteousness, peace, and joy. You can look that up in Romans 14:17. It is a powerful kingdom because God is omnipotent, that is, all-powerful. 1 Corinthians 4:20 says, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. When Jesus came, he brought the foretaste of what the final complete kingdom of God will be like, where righteousness will be the trademark and joy and peace will be the norm. So when we pray, your kingdom come, we are asking God for his righteousness, peace and joy, and all the things that are part of God's kingdom to be present in our own lives, in our family, our friends, our work life, the church, our nation, the media, the government, the world, and whatever else is concerning us. I mean, these are just some of the things that will help us in our prayer time when we consider all these. You won't be just praying for 5 minutes. This will take you hours to go through, as I know. We can all ask that all his kingdom stands for can be seen in our day-to-day lives. Your will be done means relinquishing, wanting our way, and submitting to what God wants. You know, we can say, Lord, let your will be done, but let it be this, this, this. You know, we tell God what we want his will to be. Now, give us this day our daily bread. God doesn't want us to be preoccupied with having to worry about how we're going to make ends meet. Do you remember in Matthew 6 where Jesus was saying, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we wear or where, you know. He says, your heavenly Father knows that you need them, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. In other words, get your priorities right. Put God first. And I can tell you that everything else that you need will be added to you. You know, as I said before, God loves to give good gifts to his children. But we need to check that there's nothing blocking the supply chain. You know, if we're disobedient, if God has told us to do something and we haven't done it, then that is blocking God bringing the blessing into our life. Maybe we've got stingy attitudes. You know, I'm not sure, Lord, that I can afford to give this. I can tell you, you can't afford not to give. And if God prompts you to give to somebody, don't think, oh, how am I going to manage? I tell you, if you give with the right spirit, you will have all that you need. You know, it says in Philippians 4, doesn't it? My God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. Not all our wants, you know. We might want a nice Rolls or a big house or something. But God says, you don't need that. I've promised I will supply all you need. And you can pray if you have a need. Say, Lord, take God's promises. Pray the word of God. There's nothing more powerful than praying the word and the promises of God. So be specific when you pray. You know, Lord, this I need such and such for such and such. Lord, you know this is a need. And then be persistent. Remember the parable Jesus told of the persistent widow who went and kept on and kept on. And he said, you know, if the judge gives a good verdict just because she's persisting, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to you? If it's in accord with God's purpose, it will happen, even if God's timing is different. God is never too late. And then the next bit in the prayer, forgive us our debts, or the modern version now says sins, as we forgive our debtors or people who sin against us. You know, but that's why I read that passage, because we all know the Lord's Prayer. Probably been saying it since we were so high. But Jesus went on and he said, but if you do not forgive men their sins, neither will your heavenly Father forgive your sins. So if we hold a grudge against somebody in our hearts, that's going to block God blessing us and answering our prayers. You know, we have to forgive. Unforgiveness is a big stumbling block to getting our prayers answered. Some people have said to me when I've been teaching in a small group, oh, but, you know, that's letting them off lightly. It doesn't let them off lightly. The Lord says, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I will repay. You are doing yourself more harm if you don't forgive than the person that you are not forgiving. Because if you hold resentment, bitterness in your heart, that it's like a canker. It will eat away at you. And God wants you to know his freedom. And so if there's anything or anybody that you are holding a little bit of a grudge against, get that before the Lord and clear it. If you can, make restitution to that person. It could be that they've gone on to glory. I remember somebody once coming up to me many years ago in church and saying, I really have to say I'm forgiving you. And I said, what for? I didn't even know. Something I'd said, she'd taken it actually the wrong way. And she'd been holding that against me all that time. And it was wonderful just to be able to clear that. And I said, well, I'm sorry if I upset you. I didn't mean it that way at all. And, you know, it's where there's unity, that's where God pours the blessing. So if we're holding things in our hearts against one another, you know, it might just be a little trivial thing. You know, somebody sat in my seat. I hope we're not like that. But, you know, we can, especially I noticed older people, and as probably apart from John, I think I'm the oldest one here. I have noticed that older people tend to get very sort of set where they sit. And when I have a group on a Tuesday, a Bible study with a group of about 12, at the moment we're doing the new Alpha. Just pray for it, will you? Because we've got two new ladies that have come in. And I've noticed they always go to the same seats in my lounge. We get into habits, don't we? And then, oh, that person has sat in my seat. And there could be a little bit of a niggle there. You know, we need to be free in our spirit and not allow anything to get in the way. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Ephesians 6 tells us to put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. There isn't time today to go into the different areas of armor. That would be a whole sermon in itself. But, you know, we can in the morning pray, Lord, I'm putting on your helmet. Guard my thoughts today. And so on and so forth. Lord, I gird your armor on. I'm taking the sword of the Spirit, your word, and so on. And so then we come to, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. You know, we need to go forward each day knowing that God reigns over everything and all power is his in heaven and on earth. And praise him for who he is as well as what he's done and will do. Knowing who we are sons and daughters of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So yours is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever. I'd like us just to close by praying the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Amen.